y'all, it's Amelia Rose and welcome to C'est La Me. I hope you are doing so good. I am doing great. I'm very excited for today's episode. I actually posted on social media that I had a blank spot in my podcast schedule and I was like, what should I record? Like, let me know if there's anything you want to hear. And one of you said I should do a Torture Poets Department predictions episode, which I have never done ahead of time, I don't think, at least not solo. And so I'm really excited about this episode. It makes total sense, but I'm very excited for y'all to hear it. First, really quick, let's get to the intro. This is actually very on brand for me. I went to Pensacola with my sisters actually yesterday and the day before. I'm recording this on a Sunday. So this weekend we went to Pensacola because they were doing a Taylor Swift dance night, which is so fun and so exciting. If y'all have never been, I think it's called Le Petit Feet. I think I've never said it out loud. It's just been like a thing I've seen on social media. But if you don't know what they are, they're like the Taylor Party. They're a bunch of different companies that do Taylor Swift dance parties. If you've never been, I highly recommend you go. This was so much fun. It was great. And so I went, I dressed as the Midnight's Taylor in the anti-hero dress and the boots. I actually got, if you remember my episode with Kate's Castle, Kate from Kate's Castle on Instagram. She has this really great tutorial on how to do those Midnight's boots with like the red heel and all of that. And so I made those in prep for them and they were very easy and really fun and they held up really well. There are a couple of like spots where I'm like could apply more sparkles, but they held up really nicely during the night and I felt great. So that was a super fun day. And then the next day we went to the Palafox market, which was great. It's just like a farmer's market and it was so fun. It was such a good vibe because the day was beautiful. And then again, like this is just a Pensacola recommendation trip. Like go to Pensacola if you have not done that. Go to the Palafox market. I think it happens every Saturday. But it was great. They have like homemade like treats and different like vegetables, and then they have like art. It's really nice, eclectic. I actually got a charcoal lemonade, which was awesome and really nice. It tasted just like normal lemonade, but it had charcoal and like some sea salt in it. So it was like hydrating and detoxifying, and that was so fun and so good. Then we headed down to the beach and we had a beach day. We just laid out. I am just a little sunburned. I'm actually proud of myself for not being like too sunburned. And so that was super fun. We also ordered from the restaurant kind of near the beach. What's that restaurant called? I think it's like Casino something. But I ordered a Caesar salad and some sweet potato fries and I ate it on the beach and it was just like such a good mood. And just overall, the entire thing was so fun, so nice. Like this is your inspiration to take a weekend trip. You have to do it if you have not done it in a while because it was so fun. We live like an hour away from Pensacola and I need to go there even more often because it was just so much fun. And now that I'm thinking about it, this episode could have just been a Pensacola recap episode. I was like, I have nothing to record. And it's like, yeah, I normally recap my trips. I think because it was a weekend trip, I was just kind of like, eh, I didn't even think about it. But anyway, that's the short recap for you. Overall, tons of fun. Really loved it. This next week is not going to be too busy, except I am going to New Orleans on Thursday. Very excited about that. Spending a couple days there, a couple days in Mississippi. So it's just going to be another fun trip. This month is so much fun for me. So I hope you're having fun too. If you aren't, plan a trip or plan a dinner date with a friend or something, because I am all about having fun, especially leading into summer. It just feels so good. So anyway, let's get on to the obsessions and then we will get on to the overall topic of the episode. All right, my obsessions this week, for obvious reasons, my first one, red lipstick. It is so exciting just to wear red lipstick. I almost wore it to the farmer's market for like no reason other than I like it. And I feel so confident in it. And it's just a lot of, like, it's just a good time. I really enjoy red lipstick. It's just so much fun. Especially now that I'm older, I feel like I'm not wearing a costume wearing it. You know, when I was younger, I would only wear red lipstick because it was like stage makeup. And now that I'm wearing it when I'm 24, I'm like, I'm not having, like, I don't feel like I'm playing dress up. I feel like I'm a woman wearing red lipstick. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all, but I just feel like I've grown into it and it's super fun. So my favorite, I thought y'all might want to know, my favorite brand, I think it's Revlon Superstay. It's a matte red lipstick. It comes in kind of like a twist thing, and it opens, it like comes out when you twist it. I don't know if that's very easy to follow along with, but it's nice. It's easy to put on. It's kind of like a lip crayon. I thought y'all might like it. It's so easy to apply, because my qualms sometimes about red lipstick is it's difficult to apply. It smears, whatever. This is so, so easy. Just literally like, it's just super easy. So I love the Revlon Superstay. I hope it's Revlon. All right, the next obsession, obviously, the beach. This comes as no surprise to anybody, but I love the beach, especially leading up to summer. Such a fun way to spend your time. And if you don't have that weekend plan trip and there's a beach near you or a beach somewhere where you might just want to go, like take some time off work and go, or take some time off school or whatever you're able to do, highly recommend going to the beach, because I needed a beach day. I didn't realize I needed a beach day, but I needed a beach day, and it was so fun. Just, I chilled, I was in a bathing suit, and just felt like, oh, like, this is so nice, just getting by the water. Every time I go to the beach, I, like, want to move somewhere, like, super, super coastal, which I kind of already am somewhere coastal. Like, I'm in Mobile, Alabama. So, if you look up Port City, there are beaches, like, all around, yes, beaches in Alabama, and I just don't tend to go as often, so I think I just need to make it a point to go. So, yes, the beach is super fun. Okay, my last obsession, this is kind of random, but Purely Elizabeth Granola. I thought that y'all might like to hear this recommendation, because it has been kind of life-changing for me. It is so good. I'm probably super late to the Purely Elizabeth train, but it's super good. I think I have the almond butter chocolate chip one or something like that. Maybe it's like vanilla chocolate chip. It is really nice on top of yogurt, which I've been doing recently for breakfast. I've just been doing like a dairy-free yogurt and Purely Elizabeth granola and blueberries. And it has been just a really good breakfast and really yummy. And I've just been kind of obsessed with it. And I've also sometimes come home and I just like do a tiny little bowl of granola and I'm just like, cool, I'm just gonna eat this. And it is so yummy. So I've been enjoying that. Alrighty. This episode is going to be so fun. All right, so first of all, I'm going to break it down track by track, but I'm going to tell my overall thoughts on the album, starting with the sound. So for the sound of this album, I'm hoping it's going to sound like Midnights, like Almost Midnights Part 2, kind of like almost a sister album, maybe, or like the reverse of Midnights, I don't know. But sonically, I would love it to sound like Midnights, because I absolutely love that sound, and I think it makes sense. So if Dear Reader and You're Losing Me are kind of the two tracks that are transitioning into the Tortured Poets Department era, I think it would make sense that it would sound kind of like Midnights. It would kind of maintain that kind of dark, introspective, keep you up at night kind of sound, just like with different subject matter, because I almost feel like some of the aesthetics, which we'll get into, like the imagery and everything, we'll get into that in a minute, but I feel like it's been very like contemplative, and that kind of goes along with Midnights, and a lot of the imagery has been like the reverse of Midnight shoots and all of that. So I feel like that also kind of makes sense. Also, if you think about this album, it's not one that hasn't been planned for a while. Like, it's not like Folklore and Evermore. So I feel like the sound could be very Midnights-esque, because she started on the Tortured Poets Department right after she turned in Midnights, and she has said that. And so I'm like, okay, well, you could still have those sonic inspirations and it could really sound like Midnights. So that is my theory. At least that's what I'm hoping, because I love Midnights. I will say it's my number two album, Speak Now First, and then Midnights. But really, I'll be happy with pretty much anything, because it's Taylor Swift and I know it's going to be great. I have total trust in her. She's fine. She's going to do great. But if I had it my way, it would be a Midnights Part 2. All right. The next part is the lyrics. Obviously, overall, this is going to be a gut-wrenching album. You can already tell. She has done the Five Stages of Heartbreak playlist, and all of that leads me to believe that there will be some really super sad songs, like So Long London, The Tortured Poets Department, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, and also some really angry, cynical, and maybe even sassy ones, because some of the titles, like Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? I could view that being really sassy. The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, definite shade. I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can. Florida, for some reason I'm making, I think, because it has 3 exclamation points, I think Florida is going to be like an angry song for some reason. There's obviously going to be a range of emotions, so I'm really excited to hear that. And I don't think I'm alone in thinking that this could be Taylor's most vulnerable album yet, and I'm excited to hear about it. All right, so the imagery. Obviously very dark, contemplative, introspective. I think we could be getting a music video for the first 2 tracks, Georgia Poets Department and Fortnite. Flip those because I said them in the wrong order. But I honestly have no idea. The imagery has been beautiful though. It kind of reminds me of Midnights, but also Folklore for some reason. And it's just pretty and gorgeous, and I like it. So yeah. Before we dive into the track by track, let me just tell you, this is the thing. I am usually wrong when it comes to predictions. This is for pure fun. This is not supposed to be super serious and like, oh, you were wrong, you know, whatever. Or like, I don't think that's right at all. Like, cool. If you don't think it's right, that's fine. I've just had some people be like, oh, I don't think this. And I'm like, cool. This is just what I think. So just everyone, this is just for fun. I'm not saying everything's definite or that Taylor does or doesn't do this. Like, this is literally me just speculating. So let's get into it. All right, so the first track is Fortnite. Why can't I say that? I was going to say Folklore. Fortnite featuring Post Malone. First of all, Post Malone. Excited. Very, very, very excited. And I know I figure he's going to sing a verse. You know, people are like, oh, Taylor relegates artists to like the background vocals and whatever. Even if it was the background vocals, I love a good like male-female duet. Love it. But no, I'm very excited for him to be on it. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's like a rapper, but I think this could kind of be a mashup sonically of Endgame and lyrically of Coney Island. I have absolutely no basis for that, especially not the Coney Island stuff. Maybe it's just because she has a male like singer musician featured on it, but it's just what I feel. I feel like it's going to be a very melancholy track or some sort of hard-hitting gut punch song, like one or the other. I'm really not sure. Honestly, I'm going to say that a lot during this episode, but I'm not sure, but I'm really excited and interested to hear this as an album opener, just keeping that in mind, just being like, okay, I mean, she started off, like, I have no basis for thinking she always starts an album with this type of song, because she doesn't. It's all so different. Like, she literally started Folklore with The One. What were we supposed to do about that? You know, and I'm like, if this is going to be her saddest album ever, like everyone's thinking, I'm kind of like, okay, it could be like The One, you know, and I don't know, that just kind of gives me like Coney Island type vibes. I'm just thinking about it, Fortnite being like, just the verse of like, I'm sitting on Coney Island wondering where my baby go, or I'm on a bench at Coney Island wondering where did my baby go. And so I kind of wonder if it starts off like the mourning process or not. So I'm not sure, but I love her album openers. It should set the tone for the rest of the album. So it's got to be really good. So if there's a big bass drop or some hard like lead synth type thing, gonna go crazy. I'm really excited. I'm really nervous for it. I don't know why, but it's just kind of like that's gonna give us a sneak peek into what the album will sound like. So yeah, I don't even know. All right, next track is the Georgia Poets Department. This is the title track, which I'm very excited that we have. This could be a really cool song about writing music in the midst of sadness. For some reason, this is what I'm thinking. It could be some sort of tongue-in-cheek song, like, I'm super sad, girl, but that makes me the chairman of the Georgia Poets Department. So, like, woohoo, like, gotta use my mission somehow, if you kind of get what I mean. Like, I'm so sad, but I turn my pain into art. Like, my emotions are all over the place, but here I've got like this talent of turning my emotions into something. Like, I'm the chairman of the Georgia Poets Department. I don't know. Sonically, no clue what this is gonna sound like. Honestly, I'm just basing everything off of Midnights, and I'm like, oh, we're getting a Midnights part two. But literally, if this ends up being like a indie like Folklore sounding album, I'm gonna be so off guard. It's gonna be great. Loved Folklore, love Evermore. But, you know, I'm just thinking it's going to be like Midnight. So if it doesn't have any of the Midnight stuff in it, I'm going to be like, wait, what? So if I'm going off the theory that it'll be a Midnight type sound, this track could be closer in my mind to something like The Great War. Because I just feel like it still has that mooniness, but it also has that like catchy like hook type thing. And maybe her just stating things and like, you're losing me, the bridge of that song. Kind of just stating things and going fast and all that. So Next track is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. This title, it sounds really sarcastic. So Taylor can go in my mind, one of two ways. She could amp up the sarcasm and just be like, you know, I'm broken because my boy only breaks his favorite toys. He only, like, you know, whatever, like, loser. Or she could make this really devastating song that takes us off guard because we're all too busy laughing at, like, the title. Being like, kind of like, haha, that sounds so funny. And then we turn it on, and then she's, like, just pouring her heart out, and we're like, this is awful. This is so bad, you know? So, for me, those are the two ways she could go with that song. But, obviously, infinite possibilities, because she's Taylor Swift. All right, the next track is Down Bad. I feel like the sound of this song could be something like Maroon, or So It Goes, or something like that. Kind of dark, moody, maybe a little sexy. The lyrics could either be like a cute love song, like, I'm down bad, like, I don't know why I'm trying to sing. I wasn't really trying to, and it came out like that. Like, oh, I'm so in love, I'm so down bad by this guy, and whatever. Or it could be like, I'm down bad for you, so I put up with all of this bad stuff that you do. I kind of feel like it'll be more like that, and not a love song, because this album's just going to be so sad. And it's right before So Long London, and so I'm kind of like, it's got to be like a breaking point kind of song, maybe. That's my prediction. So let's continue. All right, track 5, So Long London. Obviously, it's going to be heartbreaking. We know she's essentially had a home base in London since her last relationship, and it's going to be really hard to say goodbye. And I'm not sure what this might sound like, but I have a theory. She might reference lyrics or parallels between her love songs of the past, like, 7 years. And so if she references Lover, Invisible String, or especially London Boy in this song, I'm gonna lose it. If she's just like, ugh, like, I don't know. I'm not going to make it out alive, because it's just, that's gonna be so hard. I don't know about this song. Like, I don't know, but I know it's a track 5, so it's going to be devastating. Okay, the next track is But Daddy, I Love Him. So this title makes me think that she's going to reference advice from people around her, like warnings of like, this guy is not good, or like, you know, you need someone better, or you need to not be in the situation anymore. And she's going to be like, but I love him and whatever. And I also think she's specifically going to bring in Scott. Because I just wonder, like, what that's going to be like. It really reminds me of the It's Supposed to Be Fun Turning 21 lyric. And I feel like she's going to reference him. And that's going to make me cry, especially after So Long London. Like, I'm seriously, I have to go buy tissues because I'm not going to be okay with the song. But yeah. All right. Track 7 is Fresh Out of the Slammer. This has got to be like, I want there to be like drums in the song, like big drums, like I don't know what it's gonna sound like, but I really want it to be like slamming, you know, like drums. And this has got to be maybe that reckless feeling after you get out of a situation. You don't really know where you're headed, you don't really know what you're doing, but you know you're out. You know you, like, left, or you broke up, or you were just out of the situation that was causing pain. And so it's got to be like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this album is going to be chronological, but I'm treating it like it is. So after But Daddy, I Love Him, like, whatever, Fresh Out the Slammer, probably going to be like, I'm free, I'm just running wild, I don't know where I'm going, but, like, I know that I got out, and, like, and it's probably going to reference, like, wounds or pain that she still has, but just like she's catching her breath because she's like out of there. And so that's the vibe that this title gives me. All right, the next track is Florida with 3 exclamation points featuring Florence and the Machine. So this song, for some reason, the 3 exclamation points is making me feel like it either could be angry or just like a continuation of that Fresh Out the Slammer type of vibe, where she's like free and everything, and people are saying, oh, she played some shows in Florida, and it was, you know, right after her breakup or whatever. And so I don't know what all like that is really gonna be like. I don't know. And Florence and the Machine, I will admit, don't really listen to them. So I'm not like, oh, it's going to sound like this song of theirs. And so I'm just, this is a song I'm really curious about because I'm kind of like not like sure about it. But I'm excited about it. It's my neighboring state, so, and I just went there, so I hope it's good. I'm not sure, but we'll see. All right, next track is Guilty as Sin? So, you know, when she uses punctuation, you gotta pay attention. So, I am just like, I don't know. Sometimes it's like, I wonder if she, in this track, is gonna be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the way she could use this sentence, this like phrase. I feel like it could either be pointing fingers at her ex, or it could be pointing fingers at herself. Not for anything specific. I don't have any like, oh, they did this and then they're, you know, like, I don't know. But I do feel like it could be talking about either her ex or maybe like a new love interest or something. Cause we all know she had, like a little thing going on for like, maybe like a month or two. Actually, was that a month or two? I don't know. And so it could be about that. And I don't know. Sonically, I feel like, again, this is reminding me of like darker, like the Lavender Haze type of beat that she kind of had going on at the very beginning of Lavender Haze. And so I'm thinking it could be that. I'm thinking it could be something like So It Goes, Dress, whatever. Because I don't know. I'm thinking because it has Sin in it. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's going to be a darker type of song. And I don't really know what it could be about, but I'm really looking forward to it. I feel like this might have like really intense lyrics in it for some reason, because Guilty and Sin just kind of make me feel like it's going to be like a dark song. So I don't know. Okay, the next track is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Now, I am definitely kind of claiming this song because I think that it could kind of have the vibe of, I don't know if y'all are on Twitter or who all is listening, if you're on like Swifty Twitter or just like you've seen little memes of her in like anti-hero performances on the Eras Tour, but there's a part where she's like marching down the stage and she just looks like so cute and whatever, and that is literally the gif or jif or whatever meme that pops up in my head when I hear Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. And I kind of like beyond that little Eras Tour moment, I have no clue what this song is going to sound like, but I'm really excited to hear it. Like I don't think I have thoughts on it. I don't think I have predictions, but let me try and think of something just for the sake of it, because I am doing a predictions episode and I should probably have predictions for this track. So I'm thinking that maybe it could be about like who's intimidated by me, who's I don't know. For some reason, little old me reminds me of like you're on your own, kid. And so I'm kind of wondering, is that going to be like a kind of you're on your own, kid, like when did I get to be such a big like star or whatever and people are intimidated and like I'm eclipsing everybody and like it's just me. But I don't think that that's correct. That's just what comes to mind. I'm really stumped a lot by these titles, but I think that this is going to be a really, really, really good song. I mean, everything's going to be a good song, but I have eyes on this song for sure. Just trying to be like, what's this going to be? So I'm excited. All right. The next track, also very excited for, I Can Fix Him. No, really, I can. Oh my heavens. Like that is sad, but also everybody, every girl has felt that about some sort of guy before. Even if it's just in theory, or whatever. And so I'm really excited to hear this. And I'm excited to hear, I think it's going to have a lot of reasoning behind it. Like, kind of like the bridge of You're Losing Me. Like, I'm the best thing at this party. I wouldn't marry me either. And just kind of a lot of like, well, I have problems too. And like, but I can fix him. I understand where he's coming from. Like, blah, 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 blah. Again, I wonder if it's about her little situationship that she had in the middle of the Eras tour. Just because, I don't know, that just kind of comes to mind sometimes. And so I don't know about the song, but I feel like it's going to be a lot of like back and forth, arguing, kind of like denial stage, bargaining kind of. And so I do wonder if that is going to be a part of it, because it does kind of sound like the title is like bargaining and all of that. I feel like it has the potential to sound like the bridge in You're Losing Me. Also, maybe like the Great War, just like listing off things in a rush and all of that. And so, but I'm excited to kind of see if it's either the beginning, like the bargaining stage, or just like, I thought that I could fix him, but here's why I can't, or something like that. And so that just, it kind of makes me curious. She could go in those two directions with that track. All right. The next track is LOML. Gosh, I can't even speak. Like, LOML. Like, I've had such trouble saying that phrase. I have definitely seen theories where it's not supposed to stand for love of your life. It's supposed to stand for loss of your life. And I'm just like, if she does that, I cannot handle it. I wonder why it's abbreviated like that. Maybe just because it's more artistic. But is she really going to sing LOML? Like, maybe. I don't know. And so I kind of wonder if the song is going to have like spelling in it. Because it doesn't. I don't know. I really don't know. But if this is a cute little love song, like, I'm here for it. It sounds like a cute little love song, which means it's probably going to be like this heart, like rip your heart out and stomp on it and like you're never going to be okay again type of song. So it could be either, but I hope it's a cute little love song. I don't know. All right, track 13, I Can Do It With Broken Heart. This does remind me of You're On Your Own, Kid, but it also reminds me of A Place in This World. and it reminds me of Begin Again. And so I can't tell you what reminds me of what. Like, Begin Again, the I Can Do It With A Broken Heart kind of reminds me of just like, I mean, in that song, she sounds brokenhearted, but she's still going on dates. She's still like, you know, doing things even though she feels kind of burnt out and not up to it and all of that. And everyone thinks this is going to be up at the Eras Tour. And I kind of agree. You know, I can do what I'm meant to do even through a broken heart. Where I can smile and have fun. I can sing love songs with a broken heart. I can be this big musician, entertainer with a broken heart. I feel like this is going to be an uplifting song. I feel like this could be an empowering, encouraging song. I don't know that it's going to be this like really sad song. I think it's going to be really uplifting. It does come at the end of the album, but again, she ended Folklore with Hoax, so I don't trust her at all. But I do think that she is going to be able to make this a really empowering song. The phrase, I can do it with a broken heart, is just kind of like, yeah. But yeah. All right, 14, the track everyone's talking about, The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Yes. I don't know what this is at all. Oh my gosh. If it ends up being like something like The Man, like, if I was a man, then I'd be the man. If it's anything like that song, like, yes. Like, I don't even know. Everyone thinks it's such a dig, such a, like, whatever. And I would like some sass. I would like to hear a song that is just a little sassy, a little bit petty, you know? Like, that's kind of why I like Maisie Peters, because she'll do songs like that, like Guy and a Horse. And, like, a bunch of her other songs are really kind of, like, petty and whatever. And so I really enjoy her stuff. So I'm kind of hoping for, like, a Maisie Peters-esque, like, dig, because why not? All right. The next song, The Alchemy. Okay. She needs to talk about gold. She needs to talk about gold. She needs to say shimmer. She needs to say tarnish. She needs to say I don't know what else. It needs to be like maroon, but like gold version. It doesn't actually have to be any of that, but I think it could either be like her claiming this relationship was gold, like, you know, used to think love was black and white, but it's golden. You know, it could be a little riff on Daylight, but it's like, oh, I was turning this lead into gold. It wasn't really what it was. Or it could be like, I'm turning this lead of a heartbreak into gold with this album or with this tour or with just like what I'm doing. Like, I'm an alchemist and I am turning the bad into something precious, something good, something I'm going to look back on forever. And so I don't know which direction she's going to go in, but it sounds very poetic, tortured, all of that. Like alchemy just sounds mysterious and, you know, magical and all of that. And so I'm excited about this one. It sounds very on brand for Torture Poets Department. All right, the last track of just the normal track list is Clarabeau. So I actually did some reading up on Clarabeau, as I'm sure a lot of people have in the past months. I'm sure they're like, who the heck? Did not know about Clarabeau. I feel bad. I'm like a history nerd, but I've never heard of Clarabeau. So maybe I'm not really a history nerd. I don't know. And so, yeah, she was cool. She was interesting. And it does, like, I'm going to state the obvious. It gives me Last Great American Dynasty vibes. Because it's like a famous woman who was a little crazy and was talk of the tabloids and all of that. And so I don't know. I feel like it might just be, I mean, Taylor is at her, like, I won't say it. She's at her peak. You think she would be, but I thought she was like in 1989. I thought she was with Fearless. And you compare those eras to now and it's just like absolutely crazy. But she's the most successful she's ever been. And she could be like, oh, I'm the most successful I've ever been, but I'm also like super depressed or, you know, whatever. And I'm not trying to put words into her mouth. I really don't want this to like fall into the wrong ears and have them be like, don't speak for Taylor. Like, I'm really not. It's just a prediction. But no, she could say that, or she could be like, oh, like, I understand her, and I think she would understand me. Not really sure, but I'm really interested. I like when Taylor kind of not messes with history, but like touches history in her music and references it. And so I do wonder, is she gonna like reference Clarabeau by name? I don't know. And so, yeah, that's the end of the track list, but I am going to give my thoughts on the bonus tracks. All right, so the first edition is the manuscript edition. I'm very excited about this. And that track is obviously called The Manuscript. And so I feel like this might be a song about the making or the beginnings of this album. I'm really interested because she did say in an interview, I feel like it was Jimmy Kimmel. And I feel like it was when she wore that like two-piece, like matching, it was a three-piece, like suit type situation. And she was talking about Midnights and all that. And she said, you get the manuscript and like how like you can hint at things like that. Actually, that wasn't the same interview, but she said something about a manuscript. And so I think at that point, like her working on the album was definitely out because she did it right when she turned in Midnights. And so she's like, I need to make this album like now. And so I feel like this could be like her pinning the manuscript of the album, just being like, this is how it started, this is how it goes, or whatever. Or I feel like it could be kind of like an All Too Well type thing where it's like the scarf was like the common thread throughout that song, or the item reference throughout that song. And I feel like it could be just a commentary on a relationship or on a situation and have a manuscript be like the thing that ties everything together or the thing that is referenced. So I'm interested. I also heard a theory that was like, oh, in The Great War, she says tears on the letter, and the letter could be a manuscript or something like that. And so I'm very interested to see what that's about, if we end up seeing this in that track. And I will say, I'm sad that these tracks are not going to be on Spotify. It's like, I expected them not to be, but also it makes me sad because, like, I'm going to have to figure out how to listen to them because I did not buy the variants. I don't have the funds. but, I mean, for Taylor Swift songs, like, come on. I'm going to figure out how to listen to them. All right. The next variant is the Bolter, and then the track on that is the Bolter. Cool. So, this, I just feel like it might just be about people just running away. Honestly, yep. I feel like it's like bolting away from your problems. No basis for that other than the Bolter being like, oh, like he's the Bolter. I mean, everyone thinks that. But maybe it's about her. It's giving me the Archer vibes just because it's the and then like a title. Not man, but the Bolter, the Archer. And so I'm kind of wondering if like Taylor's the Bolter. I don't know. But I'm interested to see what this one's going to be like. It could, for me, it could be like, what's the song? Woulda, coulda, shoulda. I feel like it could sound like that, kind of like chugging along and it's great and all that. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about that. And so, yeah. I can't wait. I really want to see who the Bolter is. And like, if it's like, oh, you did this, you ran away from the problems, blah, blah, blah. Or if it's like, I did this, I'm constantly running away from my problems, like whatever. Because we all know that she likes to like unpack her weaknesses and stuff in songwriting, especially like in the Archer. Okay, the next song is the Albatross. This puzzles me. I have no clue. I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. I like don't even know, like Albatross, I like don't even like what are we talking about there? I don't know. And like how is that going to be poetic and like whatever? I do definitely think that that honestly I have no clue what I'm talking about. but for some reason this does give me like a slow type of vibe. I feel like maybe piano driven. I don't think that about a lot of the songs on this album. I think maybe LOML could be piano driven. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart might. The Alchemy might be a little slower, but the Albatross I feel like is going to be piano driven. Watch it not be. But yeah, I'm so stumped by this. This is the one like wild card that I'm like, I do not know. I have no clue. All right. So the next one is the Black Dog edition, and it's the Black Dog. And so I heard people talking about like depression as a black dog, and it's like the Grim and Sirius Black from Harry Potter, all of that. I could kind of see that. You know, I could see like, oh, this black dog keeps chasing me around, but like whatever. Beyond that, don't know. These animal titles are really like throwing me off. I have no clue what it's going to sound like. The cover art for this is really pretty, very like very very dark, and so that kind of leads me to thinking that it could be like depression or whatever. And so I fully believe that thing. And if they have like an electric guitar on this track, don't tell me, don't ask me why I think this, but it could be beautiful. And so I'm just thinking like this could be really like such a good song. Okay, those are the end of my baseless, completely inaccurate predictions for the Torture Votes Department. So listen back to my review episode whenever that comes out to hear what it actually sounds like and to hear what I think of the tracks and to hear how wrong I was when I was predicting this album. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed and I will talk to you sooner than you think. I love you so much. Bye.